Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Drama coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear Lionel Barrymore in a wartime broadcast of the mayor of the town. But right now, actor John Brown portrays Broadway on the Damon Runyon Theater. This episode first broadcast on March 13th, 1949, called Broadway Complex.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Broadway Complex. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. It is along toward 4 o'clock one morning, and I am sitting in Mindy's restaurant on Broadway with Ambrose Hammer, the dramatic critic. We are talking of this and that, when Ambrose looks toward the door and says as follows.
Broadway, who's that guy coming in now?
That? Oh, he's a citizen named Cecil Earle.
Funny, I've never seen him before.
He is what is called the master of ceremonies at the Golden Slipper.
Oh. Looks like he's sleepwalking.
He is a very odd character.
What's the matter, Broadway?
I do not like this, Ambrose. Cecil is heading for that table at which I'm sitting.
Louis the Lug, Angie the Ox, and Upstate Red.
In his right mind, Cecil R. would walk 10 miles to keep away from their shadows. Look, he is reaching inside his coat.
For a gun.
Expect any second to see Cecil Earle do a foldo and join his deceased relatives, because anybody who reaches inside his coat within eyesight of any one of the three citizens above mentioned can also reach for a lily. He is going to need it. But what happens is something different. Before Cecil Earle is able to reach the table he is heading for, Ambrose Hammer pops out of his chair and collars him. Ambrose brings him to our table, and what goes on is this.
Okay, son, sit down. Take it easy.
He should have let me go. I'd have cooked those babies right here and now.
Huh? Cecil, what are you talking about? Who do you think you are?
Who are you?
Me? Look at me.
I I know you.
Sure you do, Cecil. Ambrose, what is this?
I'm not quite sure, Broadway. Cecil?
Yeah?
What were you going to do a minute ago?
Do? I cool off those citizens.
Why?
For muscling in on my territory.
Ambrose, this guy is as wobbly as a 10-cent bicycle. He is nobody but Cecil Earle, and he has no territory.
Mm-hmm. Cecil?
Huh?
Who are you?
Me? Why, I'm...
He does not know who he is.
Yes, he does. Now look, Cecil, you're Cecil Earle, remember?
Earle? Well, who says I'm not?
You do.
Broadway, do you know where he lives?
Sure, over on 49th.
Okay, let's get him home.
We take Cecil to his hotel, and on the way over, he gets as straight as I and Ambrose. It seems he gets some sort of funny idea about being somebody else for a while. We tuck him in his bed, and I tell Ambrose all I know about it. Ambrose thinks about it for a minute, and then says...
Subconsciously, he wants to be a big shot. He wants to be important, but he's not, is he?
Not in the least. Why?
Well, every once in a while, like that business in Mindy's before... He takes on a character of his dream world. He becomes, well, a gunman, a killer, a tough mug.
All this he dreams?
Yes, but he lives his dreams.
With a gun?
Look, here's the gun he had.
Wait, this is nothing but a water pistol.
Sure, but to him it was a Roscoe.
And he goes to pull it on those citizens? Oh, Ambrose, this can be very dangerous.
Only if the others don't know about him.
Someday he is going to run into somebody who does not know this is all a dream.
So I'll tell you what, Broadway, do him a favor.
Me? How?
Noise it around about him. Tip off everybody that he's like this.
Ah, oh, the poor guy. Just wanted to be somebody and cannot.
He'll be all right someday.
You mean he will get over wanting to be somebody else?
It sometimes happens.
How?
Oh, if something actually happens to make him feel important, then that inner urge will be satisfied and he'll be perfectly normal.
What could happen to this Cecil Earle?
Who knows? I've seen a lot of things happen to a lot of people. It could happen to him.
It is not long before everybody knows about Cecil Earle. And a funny thing, even the toughest citizens along the stem play along with him when he gets the dream. Nobody laughs when he is, by turns, the President of the United States or a big game hunter. Although Mindy resents it a little when Cecil Earle becomes a French chef and takes to criticizing the food. So that is the way things go along for maybe 3-4 weeks. Then, one day, I am sitting in Mindy's with Ambrose Hammer, and we are joined by Cecil, who sits down and speaks.
Hello.
Hiya, Cecil.
Hello, Cecil.
Look, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time now.
About what, Cecil?
About me.
What is the matter?
It's just that, well, I thought maybe I ought to go away.
Go away? Why?
You know.
Anybody say anything to you?
Oh, no. No, that's just it. Nobody does.
Oh, I see.
I know I make an idiot of myself when I get one of those...
Forget it, Cecil.
Sure, forget it.
Ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be somebody. I never was. And what am I now? A master of ceremonies in a nightclub.
But you're a good one.
Maybe, but...
Look, Cecil, believe me when I tell you there are plenty of citizens along this stem who wish they are somebody they are not. Only they do not admit it.
You guys as well. Only I...
What's the matter?
Look, that's Fergus Appleton coming.
There is one guy I wish was somebody else, preferably in the dead past.
He's a great actor.
You do not like him, Ambrose?
I loathe him. In addition to being a bad actor, he smashed in my derby hat the other night.
Huh? Why, what has he got against derbies?
The fact that I was wearing one and the fact I panned him in his new play, Never Never.
He's a great actor.
If you ever become him, I wash my hands of you for good.
He sees you, Ambrose.
Uh-huh. He's going to rub it in.
Will you introduce me to him?
What for?
Sure we will, Cecil.
Hello, gentlemen. Mr. Hammer accepted.
Just counting me out of your greeting brightens my day, you ham.
Sour grapes, eh, Hammer? You can never pick a hit, can you?
I'll go away.
No, I think I'll sit down.
Goodbye.
So long. Mr. Appleton.
Yes? Who are you? Come on, Cecil. I want to talk to you.
But I'd like to talk to Mr. Appleton.
Say, aren't you the chap who...
Oh, of course. I've heard about you. You've been pointed out to me.
I have?
Cecil, let's get going.
Yeah, come on, Cecil.
But I want to talk to Mr. Appleton.
Certainly. Go away, Mr. Hammer. Napoleon wants to talk to me.
Look, apple pie, that is no way to talk.
One more crack like that and I'll...
You're what, Hammer?
I'll break your head in.
Oh, I don't think so. You're in bed with your paper now for panning Never Never. Make a pass at me and you'll get the worst publicity anybody ever had.
Look, Appleton, let this kid alone.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Hammer.
It is not. Maybe you better come with us, Cecil.
But I'd like to talk to Mr. Appleton.
Oh, it's obvious that Cecil recognizes a kindred spirit. Is that right, Cecil?
I always wanted to be an actor.
Okay, okay. What do you say, Broadway?
I think I will leave, because suddenly the air in here is very bad.
It'll get better when you leave.
I do not like this Appleton character, and I nose around and find out from others that he is an A-number-1 200-carat heel. And Cecil is just the kind of a guy Appleton will make a sucker out of, and does. Seems he gets quite a few laughs doing it. Then I get wind of something that seems more than somewhat fishy, and I tell Ambrose about it. He has it no other way but that I go with him to Fergus Appleton's apartment. When we get there, the door is opened by...
Mr. Hammer, Broadway. Gee, I'm glad to see you. Come in.
Cecil, what are you doing here?
Yes, what are you doing here, Cecil?
Me? I live here now. Mr. Appleton says you make a great actor of me.
He told you that?
Sure. But did you come to see him?
That doesn't matter. So you live here now, huh?
Mr. Appleton invited me.
Why?
He thinks I've got talent.
It's a nice place. This your room, Cecil?
Uh-huh. How'd you know?
Your picture in here.
Mr. Appleton will be home in a little bit. Matinee's almost over.
I can hardly wait.
Did he know you were coming?
I do not think so, Cecil.
Say, Cecil, how about a cup of coffee? Can you get one for us?
Coffee? Oh, sure. I'll be back in a few minutes. Just make yourself at home.
Broadway, come here, will you?
What is the idea of you asking for coffee? You know we just had some at Mindy's.
Look, when a guy like Fergus Appleton suddenly becomes a big brother, what do you look for?
Rats.
Exactly. Appleton's never had a thought for anyone but himself.
The only thing I can figure is that he regrets making Cecil a laughing stock and wishes to make it up to him.
You believe that?
No. Because Fergus does not strike me as the type that ever plays warm for anybody.
Unless he wants something.
From Cecil?
Could be. All of a sudden, we hear that Fergus is treating Cecil like a long-lost relative. Takes him here to live.
What are you looking around for?
I don't know. Maybe a rat. I smell one.
Look, Fergus is due back here soon. What if he catches us here?
We're paying a social call, that's all.
What is the matter now?
Come over here.
What is it you find?
These books.
So, what is so wonderful about finding books? I have a few myself.
Yeah. You see what I mean?
Who is reading this kind of stuff?
This is Cecil's room.
The criminal and the criminal mind.
Take a look at the next two.
Great crimes of history. The art of murder as practiced by 7 notorious murderers.
Keep going.
The perfect crime as a criminological study. Ambrose. I do not like this taste in literature.
I'll give you 10-1 that Fergus Appleton never read books like these in his life.
But what about Cecil?
Just think about it a second.
I do not like to.
At first, Appleton uses Cecil as a goat. Then he is very nice to him and gives him this room and these books. Why?
That is what I would like to know.
What would you like to know?
Well, well, Fergus Appleton, of all people to meet in your apartment.
What's the idea, Hammer, Broadway?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Just dropped in.
Not to see me, that's a sin.
Oh, you're so right. Well, guess we'll be going.
Just a minute.
Sorry, he can't stay, Ferguson.
You will until I tell you a few things.
Like what?
Like, don't ever come back here again.
It's a pleasure. Come on, Broadway.
Oh, hello, Mr. Appleton.
Did you let these two in here, Cecil?
Huh? Why, sure.
Don't do it again.
But...
Cecil, I'm trying to help you. You want me to, don't you?
Sure, Mr. Appleton. Sure.
Then don't ever let these two in here again, or out you go.
Come on, Ambrose.
Yeah, so long, Fergus.
Goodbye.
So long, Cecil.
Goodbye, Broadway.
Now, what do you know about that?
What do I know about what?
You know, Broadway, I could swear that Mr. Fergus Appleton looked scared for a minute.
Yeah, he does it there. But why should he be scared of us?
I don't know. Unless it's got something to do with those books and Cecil.
Yeah. And he does not like us to know about it.
Broadway, something tells me we'd better keep a pretty close watch on this setup from now on.
Well, more than 2 weeks go by, and Cecil stays Cecil Earle. He no longer becomes anybody else. But he also seems to be getting more and more serious. And once in a while, there is a look on his face we do not like. Then, one day, Ambrose Hammer comes to see me. He seems pretty excited as he says...
Broadway, I think I've got something.
Is that so? Well, what have you got?
You ever hear of Florence Fayette?
Fayette? Oh, yes, she is the daughter of Homer Fayette.
Huh? Who owns the paper I work for?
So, her father owns the paper you work for. If you will tell me how that ties in with anything, I will buy you a new hat.
I'll take a rain check on that, but here's something else. About how long ago do you figure Fergus Appleton started his big brother routine with Cecil?
Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. And just about 3 weeks ago, Appleton met Florence Fayette at a party.
Look, Ambrose, I will agree with you that some people should not be met. But until there is a law against it, what can you do about it?
I say there's a connection. He starts being real nice to Cecil at the same time he starts making a pitch for Florence Fayette.
I know he is running around with the doll.
Florence! Now, what's the angle? What's the angle?
I think you are out in the sun too long. What angle can there be?
Those books. And you've noticed how Cecil's acting lately?
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a minute, Ambrose. If you are thinking that Fergus is going to put a chill on the Fayette doll...
Oh, what good would that do him? He's not married to her. He wouldn't inherit her dough.
There's got to be something else.
Yeah. Her father?
Well, her father's not too happy about the whole thing. But what can he do? She's over 21.
Then Fergus does not have to put the chill on him.
Broadway, do me a favor.
What?
Talk to Cecil. Find out what you can.
Me? But how?
He knows Fergus hates me and I hate Fergus, but maybe he'll talk to you. Will you do it?
Okay. Okay, I will try.
Good. Meanwhile, I'll nose around and see what I can dig up.
It is not easy for me to get to Cecil, but I finally managed to catch him in his dressing room one night when he finishes working at the nightclub where he is master of ceremonies. There, what happens is this.
Look, Broadway, I'm in kind of a hurry.
Sure, but I do not see you for quite some time, Cecil.
That is, I do not see you to talk to.
I've been busy.
Uh-huh. Busy, reading?
What do you mean by that?
Nothing, nothing. What are you so nervous about?
I'm not.
Oh, I guess it just looks like it, huh?
Did you want to see me about something?
Like they say, just to talk.
I haven't got the time.
Cecil, what has eaten you for the past couple of weeks?
Nothing. What makes you think that?
Well, it just looks like you're acting like a guy in love.
What made you say that? What made you say that?
You do not have to jump down my throat. I just say it.
Why? Why did you say it?
Hey, Cecil, take it easy.
You're trying to needle me, huh? Give me the works, huh?
I am not trying anything. All I say is...
I know what you said. Look, I gotta go now.
Where's the doll, Cecil?
Shut up!
You know, you are not a bad-looking guy. Maybe a doll would be glad if you are in love with her.
Me? Me? Don't make me laugh.
I am not trying. No, Cecil, you are not bad-looking. Maybe this doll likes you, too.
She loves him. I know she does.
But maybe you have got a chance, too.
Against him? Besides, he's my best friend, Fergus...
Fergus Appleton, huh? Maybe the doll is Florence Fayette.
Shut up. Now, let me go.
Sure, sure.
My book. Where's my book?
Is this one?
Never mind, I'll get it.
Here it is, Cecil.
Put it down.
I am just handing it to you.
Give it to me.
Sure. What is it?
Give it to me.
The perfect crime.
I said give it to me.
You don't have to fight for it here.
Now, I'm getting out of here.
With that, he bangs the door and leaves. Then I notice that a piece of paper drops out of the book. On it is a drawing. I figure that he will miss it and be back for it, so I copy it and take it back to Ambrose Hammer. He looks at it for a minute and then says...
You know, this looks like the floor plan of a house.
Uh-huh. And there is a name under it.
Menahan. Menahan, you know anybody by that name?
Menahan? No. Wait a minute. I think there was a street in Brooklyn named Menahan.
Brooklyn?
Sure.
And this is a drawing of the floor plan of a house.
It falls out of that book on the perfect crime.
Menahan Street, Brooklyn. Maybe we ought to take a trip over there, Broadway.
Me? Go to Brooklyn?
We've got a lot of loose ends to tie up.
I do not wish to tie them up in Brooklyn.
You want to help Cecil?
Well, sure I do.
Okay.
Now, wait a second. How do you know which house this is on Menahan Street?
I've got an idea. I've also got a few connections. Let's use them.
So Ambrose drags me to where there are maps and plans. And he finds one that matches the drawing we have got. Then I do not see him for 2 days. Until one night he puts me in a cab, takes me to Brooklyn, and we get out of the house on Menahan Street. There, the scene is as follows.
I gave a couple of tickets for a show to a maid that works in this house.
So?
So she left the side door open so we can get in.
We? Ambrose, you are never so much alone as you are tonight.
It's okay. No one lives in the house but an invalid woman. She's upstairs asleep by now. The maid won't bother us.
Neither will I bother the maid. Good night.
Come on, come on. This is for Cecil.
I would like to start thinking of myself.
It's okay, I tell you. Like shooting fish in a barrel.
It is open.
Sure, the maid said it'd be. Easy now.
Ooh, it is dark.
Shh, come on.
Ambrose, somebody like light.
Just my flashlight.
My, my. How well you are equipped for this work.
Let's see. Living room. Just like in a drawing. Piano over there.
Ambrose, look.
What?
Shine your light at the piano again.
Why?
For once, do as I say, please.
Okay.
Fergus. It is Fergus Appleton.
His picture. A photograph.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Take a look at it. Read what's on it.
To my loving wife. Till death do us part. Fergus.
My loving wife. I never knew the rat was married.
The invalid woman, his wife.
Till death do us part. Death.
Oh, Ambrose, let us get out of here.
Oh, what a beautiful scheme. The filthy rat.
Ambrose, those books. Cecil, the drawing. I get it. Fergus gives Cecil the books to read. He wants to make Cecil commit a perfect crime.
Yeah, talk him into being a super criminal. Play on his complex.
Is that possible?
With Cecil, sure. Cecil wants and needs attention.
Killing somebody's a sure way to get it. The perfect crime.
For Fergus, yeah. With his wife out of the way, he can marry the Fayette doll.
I think I will go back and cook Mr. Appleton myself. After I go to the gendarmes.
No, not the police.
Are you crazy? We have got to go to them.
They'll only pick up poor Cecil. I don't want that to happen to you.
No.
But can you think of something?
Let's get out of here first. Broadway. Wait a minute.
What?
Did you say Cecil's in love with the Fayette doll himself?
I do. Oh, then I've got an idea. Oh, what an idea. No cops. Nothing but my idea.
Count me out.
No, no. You watch this house, and if Cecil comes near it, nab him. But I don't think he will.
What makes you say that?
Because I am going to do a little work on Cecil myself.
It is very dull work watching a house in Brooklyn. But I do, and at no time does Cecil come near it. 5 days go by, and I'm commencing to think that I will never see Mindy's again. Then I call Ambrose, and he tells me to come back home. I do so, and he makes me promise to be in the 1600 Club that night at a table he reserves for us. So, that night I show up there, and the scene is as follows.
Ah, Broadway, have a seat.
Ambrose, what is going on?
Oh, nothing yet. Oh, don't let Fergus Appleton see you.
Fergus? Where? That table.
Near the floor.
That is the Fayette down with him?
It is. You know, I did a lot of work the past 5 days, and I found out something.
I learned nothing at all in Brooklyn, but that does not surprise me. What do you learn here?
That Cecil has a better chance with the doll than he thinks.
Huh?
And as for me, I'm going to bust up this guy Appleton's apple cart and get myself a raise from old man Fayette for doing it.
You fix things for yourself,
eh? Never forget me. Old man Fayette might even make me editor. Then I'll can a lot of guys I hate.
Look, what is going to happen here tonight?
It is now 11:14 and a half. In 30 seconds, Cecil Earle will come in. Then watch the fun.
Ambrose, if you are thinking of making a joke of Cecil, I personally will tap your noggin.
Wouldn't blame you a bit. But everything's going to be all right.
I hope so. Because there is Cecil now.
He's a little early. Now watch.
Should I?
He's going to Fergus' table.
Now what?
Watch.
You stupid fool! What do you think you're doing?
I love her. I love
Let
her.
Let go of her.
I am seeing things. Cecil is kissing the doll.
Huh?
He is taking her out of here.
Stop that couple. Somebody stop them.
Come on, Broadway. That's our cue to talk to Fergus.
Waiter. Somebody stop that couple.
Fergus, sit down.
You.
Me. Sit down, Fergus.
Let him go.
Of me. If I do, will you promise to go to Menahan Street in Brooklyn?
What? What did you say?
You heard me. Now sit down.
Ambrose. What did you say?
Menahan Street.
For the love of... not so loud.
Looks like you've lost a girlfriend, Fergus.
I... Ambrose, why not have a sandwich?
Why don't you lose yourself now, Fergus? Quick, the cops will be here any minute. And anyway, everybody's looking at you. And this is one time you don't enjoy it.
Well, I... all right. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Ambrose, if you will stop laughing for 1 minute, I would like to know what happens.
Well, you saw it.
But I do not understand it.
It's very simple. Cecil's in love with her.
In a second, I will bang you over the head with these ham and eggs without removing the plot.
Okay, all I did was change Cecil from the perfect criminal to the perfect lover.
You what?
Sure. I loaded him up with books about Don Juan. He liked them much better than the others. You know, I think he got more out of them.
Well, that ends the festivities for that night. But it is still not the end of the story. The payoff comes a month later. And what it is, I will tell you in a minute. Sitting in Mindy's, when who walks in but Ambrose Hammer? He sits down and says...
Hiya, Broadway.
Well, Ambrose, I do not see you for quite some time. In fact, not since that night at the 1600 Club.
I've been out of town.
Oh, vacation?
Nope. Looking for a job.
Job? But that night you told me you are likely to be made editor of old man Fayette's paper because you bust up the romance between his daughter and Fergus.
I was fired.
Fired? Why?
I did too good a job on Cecil. I convinced him he was a Don Juan, and he was. Florence Fayette eloped with him.
She...
funny, huh?
Yeah, very funny. But what about Cecil? Where is he?
Hollywood. It seems this Don Juan complex stayed with him. In his first picture, he got to be a star, a great lover.
You mean
Cecil Earle is now in the movies?
Yeah. And his first picture was the play Fergus Appleton starred in, Never Never.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Broadway Complex. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater.
The Damon Runyon Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast dated March 13th, 1949. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And coming up next, a wartime broadcast of the mayor of the town from September 20th, 1942, bringing forth a very real story of a young woman who is about to join the nursing effort overseas in the Battle of the Philippines. At this point in World War II history, nurses stationed in that area had been evacuated from Manila and set up war hospitals in Bataan, erecting some of the first open-air wards to heal the wounded since the Civil War. These brave nurses became known as the Angels of Bataan and Corregidor, and we'll hear a dramatization of what the climate was like in a small town with their beloved going off to war. Lionel Barrymore, our star as the mayor of the town, next from NBC.
Good evening. The makers of Rinso are proud to present The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore.
Minute.
Good morning, Essie. How are you?
Oh, land alive. I'm glad I caught you. Wait a moment till I catch my breath, will you?
Say, it's a pretty hot morning for you to be exerting yourself so, isn't it, Essie?
Perhaps. But I'm not one to shirk my duty when I see it. Mayor, I think, that is, a good many of the people in the neighborhood feel that it's your Christian duty to speak to Amy Lou Peters.
Well, since when is this neighborhood deciding what's my Christian duty? That's between my pastor and me.
That girl is a disgrace to the entire town.
What's Amy Lou been up to now?
She gave a party last night, that's what. Gave a party. With her pa not yet cold in his grave. That girl needs curbing.
Well, why don't you curb her, Essie?
Mayor, I'm not one to meddle in what's not my business. Besides, she practically threw me out of her house.
All right, Essie, I'll speak to her.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, just women, I guess. Good morning, Essie.
Now, if you'll take my advice...
Good morning, Essie. See you later.
Hi there, Mayor.
Hello, Amy Lou. You mind if I sit down a minute?
Help yourself.
I hear you had a big party last night.
Yes, I did. Anything wrong with that?
No, I guess not. Seems kind of strange to some of the folks, though.
Pa wanted me to have a party. He left me $50 in cash just for that. Amy Lou, he said, you had the best doggone party that ever was in this town. I don't want you sitting around moping. So I did. I gave the old hen something to talk about anyhow.
How's Jim?
I wouldn't know. We just don't move in the same circle.
Uh-oh, another fight? Did you invite him to your party?
I had to be polite, didn't I? I was very relieved that he couldn't come.
Ah, the fighting Irish. They fall in love with someone they detest every time. Did you know he leaves for camp next week?
No. I'm surprised he has nerve.
You know, Amy Lou, you could be polite to Jim once in a while.
Listen, Mayor. I am what I am, and anybody that doesn't like it can keep out of my way. I won't be around here much longer anyhow. I'm going overseas with the nurses' unit.
Overseas?
Sure. There's a war on. I'm a trained nurse and they can use me. I had to report in the morning.
Well, then you must come up to the house for dinner tonight. I'll tell Marilla to fix up something special.
I don't know. I got a pack.
See you at 7. Now, don't be late. Well, now. This is what I call real cozy. Have some more chicken, Mrs. Reynolds?
No, thank you, Mayor. You may be called upon to perform a wedding soon.
Oh?
Yes, Jim and Cynthia Drew have been seeing a lot of one another.
Mother, please.
Oh, I forgot. Of course, you and Amy did used to see something of one another, didn't you? But you were both children then. I'm sure Amy Lou has lots of beaux now.
Yes, Amy Lou's about the most popular girl in town.
Well, Cynthia's very popular, too.
Cynthia, Cynthia, Cynthia. Who cares whether Jim marries 20 Cynthias?
Well, really, my dear.
I think we all grant Cynthia's a very pretty and popular girl. How are your rose bushes this year, Mrs. Reynolds?
Stuff shirts.
Why are you sitting out here alone in the dark, Amy Lou?
Oh, no particular reason. I'm sorry I exploded, Mayor.
I was getting ready to explode myself. I never did like Cynthia Drew. She squalled more than any baby I ever saw.
Oh, look, it's a full moon. I wonder where I'll be the next time the moon is full. I'll think of you. I'll look up at the moon and say, how's the mayor tonight?
I have something I want to give you. It's a St. Christopher medal for safety. I'm only lending it to you, really. My wife gave it to me back in 1917. I wouldn't take anything in the world for it.
Oh, I can't take it.
You're to take it and bring it back to me. You hear now?
Okay. Let's say you're lending it. You know, Mayor, sometimes I get a little bit frightened thinking about going. You see the newsreels, and those bombs come down pretty hard.
Amy, when I went to war, I was so scared I couldn't keep any food in my stomach for a week. You know what it is? It all of a sudden, the taste of living is mighty sweet. And you think of all the things you haven't done yet, and of all the familiar things being suddenly blotted out. Well, it is. It is terrorizing.
And what do you do when you feel like that?
Oh, you pray a little bit. Well, maybe you sing and... And you say to yourself, I am part of the bloodstream of America. I'm walking in step with Andy Jackson and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And this darkness all about me is something they've already claimed. This earth for which I fight has been consecrated with the blood of my forefathers. It's my heritage and my honor. And as I walk, I follow in sacred footsteps.
You know, when you say things like that, it's like being in church to hear you.
Oh, hello, Jim. Hello. Sit down.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I don't think I'm a coward, and yet I've had a sick feeling inside for days. I never thought much about it before, but I love this town.
I know how you feel. You look up at the trees and you think, a few years ago I climbed them, and now maybe I'll never see them again. And you want to put your hand out to people that you've never thought particularly about and say, wait a minute, we must get better acquainted.
Why should you feel that way?
I report tomorrow. I'm going overseas with the nurses unit.
Oh, no, you're not. You're not doing any such thing.
Oh, is that so? And who are you to tell me what I am or am not going to do?
Someone with a little more sense than you have.
Oh, indeed. Well, let me tell you something.
Well, now, it seems to me we better find your mother, Jim.
It's about time you grew up, Amy Lou. This isn't a game, you know.
You're going. It's no worse for you than for me.
It's my place to go. You've always been the town tomboy, Amy Lou. You'd climb the highest trees and run the farthest and brag the best of any boy in town. But you're grown up now, and you might as well face it.
Well, what do you want me to do, sit in my parlor and sew a fine seam?
I'd like to think of you doing something like that, yes. I'd like to think of you at home, here with the mayor, working in the town, somehow a part of the thing I'm fighting for.
Oh, Jim, I'd like to, but I just can't. I've got a job to do, and I've got to do it.
And my mother is right. You'll always be the tomboy, always the show-off. You don't know how to be anything else.
Oh, so I'm just a show-off, am I? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Wise Guy. I'm a nurse, and I'm a darn good one. It's just as much my war as anyone else's. The trouble with you is that you don't know decent, honest emotions when you see them. You're just an old stuffed shirt.
Hey, now, cool down, Amy Lou.
Oh, I'm going home.
Jim, why don't you marry that girl?
Marry Amy Lou? You couldn't give her to me.
Do you want to marry Cynthia Drew and have a steady diet of pale, wet milk?
Well, Mayor, why can't Amy Lou stay at home like other girls?
Well, I think she feels that she's alone now, Jim. And if she's killed, who's to care? She doesn't know how very much you would care.
Well, I don't know. If she does love me, she certainly has a funny way of showing it.
Why don't you go and talk to her now? This is the last chance you'll have for a long while.
Well, I don't suppose it would hurt to talk to her.
No. And, Jim, for heaven's sake, when you open your mouth, don't put your foot in it.
Hello, Mayor. I didn't know if you'd still be up, but I thought I'd come by and see.
Oh, Emmylou. Oh, I was just sitting here, thinking. Sit down. You going to marry Jim?
How did you know he asked me?
It's written all over your face.
Well, there was a time that if Jim had asked me to marry him, I'd just curled up my toes and died, I guess. But now... Oh, Mayor...
Here, now, that isn't like you, Emmylou.
Why does everything have to happen when it's too late? All my life I've been waiting for this day. Oh, Mayor, I want to stay so badly now. I want to marry him and go wherever he goes for as long as I can. I could do that now. It isn't too late. I could still do that.
Yeah, sure, you could still do that.
I'd like the ring on my finger and his name in my heart. Oh, Mayor, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay. Maybe I'm being soft. Maybe it's weak. But I can't give him up.
Amy, listen to me. Now, stop crying. Now, listen to me. Jim leaves next week. In a month, he may be on the Solomon Islands or Hawaii or Australia. It'll be for you to read the papers and wonder night after night, day after day, where he is. It'll be for you to watch the newsreels, listen to the radios, until you feel the hot breath of the cannon. Until you wake at night screaming, seeing him fall. And what can you tell your heart? What can you say when you look down at your hands and know there's healing in them? That those hands have it in their power to save 1,000 gins. Oh, I can tell you to stay. Sure, I can say yes. Other girls are staying at home while their husbands fight. But they don't have your gift of healing. Could you sleep reading the list of the dead and wondering how many of them might have been saved if there had been more nurses? Can you bear to think of Jim being wounded? And no one to nurse him.
I knew it all the time. I knew the answer while I was fighting it. But for a moment, all my dreams were suddenly before me.
You must go and have faith that this will all turn out as we pray it will. And that you two can be together again.
Well, look, it's almost morning.
Yes, it is.
I'm not very good at saying things myself, but I've always looked up to you. I've always thought if I were a man, I'd like to be like the mayor. Well, there's something like a rock about you. Something to hold on to. Well, I've got to run. I haven't packed anything yet.
You bring that medal back to me now.
Oh, sure thing. Well, tell the old town I'm off to the wars. I'll send him a scalp to hang in the city hall.
Be a good girl now, and don't take any foolish chances.
I'll send you a card from Tokyo and say, talk about that spirit of 76. Just wait until they record the spirit of 42.
Extra, extra, bombing of a tan hospital tower.
People of Springdale, I beg you, put every cent you can into war bonds.
Evening paper, read all about it, but tan still stands.
Our boys need your help. If you can carry a gun, carry one. If you're a trained nurse, if you're a radio man or a doctor, we need you desperately.
Extra, extra, more Bataan gun salad.
This is a people's war. Are you doing your part? In Bataan, they're dying in your name. It's your sacred trust that they don't die in vain. Good morning, Doctor. How How is she?
She's rallying. She's a strong little thing. Not many people with a wound like that could have stood that trip back. She's some kid. They say she went right out in the line of fire to help some of the men.
Yeah, sure. She's a great youngster. May I go in now?
Yes, but only stay a few moments.
All right, Doc. All right. Hello, Amy Lou.
Hi, Mayor. How's Chick?
Oh, pretty good.
I brought your medal back.
I knew you would. How do you feel?
Oh, sharp as a gun sight. I'll be out of here in another week.
You've got everyone in town talking about you again. Leave it to Amy Lou, they're saying. You're kind of a hero.
Yeah, quite a hero. I'll probably be court-martialed. They're saying that too, aren't they?
Well, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I did disobey orders. There's no getting around it. But I got so doggone mad. There were kids in those foxholes that needed treating, and they wouldn't send a girl out in line of fire. Oh, I asked to go, and they said no, so I went anyhow. I couldn't stand watching. I had to go.
In all my life, I've known no single act of greater courage on any woman's part.
Oh, gee, this is the second time you've made me cry.
Well, it wouldn't hurt you to cry a little more often. It isn't good to keep things all shut up inside you all the time.
You try not to be a woman out there. You try to think and act like a man, but you can't do it. One has hair like a boy you knew, and someone else has a voice like a voice of love. And each one of them is somehow part of you. And you watch them morning after morning and wonder which one will be that day.
Oh, now, don't talk about it, Amy Lou. Try not to think about it.
I want to think about it. I've learned courage and I've learned hate. And I want to hold on to both of them. I know how it feels now when the land splinters around you. I know how the boys look growing older hour by hour, watching their comrades die and wondering when that one blackening bullet will come.
Now, you have to forget them, Amy Lou. You have to think of the living and not look back at the dead.
Forget them? Forget them. Forget how they laughed and kidded each other. How they'd sit around at night and sing. Forget how they'd bend over those gallant letters home. And how they'd always say, when I get back, and never if. Forget how they die. Their hands reluctantly releasing the hot guns. No, I want to remember. I'm proud to remember.
And here we are at home, going to movies and sitting in soda fountains and dancing, completely unconscious that on some outpost a boy's taking his last look at the stars. We think we're doing so much, but it's really so little. And I can't find the right word somehow.
Well, you can't put it into words.
No, you can't.
You have to see it. When I went out in that field, I think I went crazy for a moment. I wanted vengeance for every boy out there. And when I was hit, I gloried in the pain. It was like a baptismal. And at the same time, all the Irish in me was fighting mad, and I passed out cussing them like a longshoreman.
Well, here, I mustn't stay too long, or Doc will have my head. You coming home with me as soon as he says you're able?
I'd like that.
Hello, darling.
Jim. Oh, Jim.
They gave me a furlough to come and see you. How are you, darling?
Oh, I feel beautiful now. Gee, you look swell in your uniform.
Hello, Mayor.
Hello, Jim.
Mother, come on in. Don't stand in the door like that.
Well, now, Jim, we can't stay. You know what the doctor said. How do you feel, Amy Lou?
Fine, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
You know what we're going to do, young lady? Just as soon as the doctor says you're well enough, we're getting married. And you're staying right here in Springdale. I don't trust you anymore.
Let's all walk down together. Goodbye, Amy Lou. I'll drop by tonight after dinner. Maybe they'll let me bring you some ice cream.
Chocolate?
Chocolate is.
I'll be by later, too, darling. Goodbye.
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 Jim, you can't seriously mean to marry that girl.
I'm going to marry her if she'll have me. And you might as well make up your mind to it, Mother.
I won't have it.
Just what right do you have to interfere, Mrs. Reynolds?
I have every right to look out for my son's happiness. That girl is a spoiled little show-off. She's always been the wildest girl in town.
Well, the best horses I ever saw took a firm hand on the bridle. I wouldn't give a cent for a horse or a girl without any spunk.
And this last episode, defying all authority, running out on the battlefield like that. It's a wonder she wasn't killed.
She tended 11 men before she was hit. I say 5 of them would have died if it hadn't been for her.
I'm not denying the girl's bravery, but you can admire someone without wanting them in your family.
Mrs. Reynolds. It seems to me it's high time someone pointed out to you what country you're living in. This is America, Mrs. Reynolds. It's founded on one democratic principle that all men are created equal. Well, you think Amy Lou is brash and forward? Well, perhaps she is, but the same spirit that's in her was the spirit that took covered wagons across a wilderness, wrested a living from the earth and rocks, and built cities. The men who did those things weren't drawing room men, my dear Mrs. Reynolds. They were simple, two-fisted, strong-talking men that believed in action. They put a flag in the wind on the East Coast and took it north and south and west until it spanned two oceans.
Really, Mayor, I don't need a history lesson.
The heck you don't.
That girl may have to face court-martial when she gets out of the hospital. We'll see who's so eager to marry her then.
Mrs. Reynolds, I shall be grateful to you if you no longer address any remarks to me now or in the future. I just don't like you.
Come, Jim.
Sorry, Mother. I have to see a man about some chocolate ice cream. Here, darling, let me tuck the robe around you. Maybe it's too chilly for you out here on the porch.
Oh, no, I want to sit here.
I was done looking at those new houses on Maple Street. There's one I want to show you. And Amy Lou, I want you to promise that you're going to stay here and marry me.
Oh, Jim, it's unlucky to make promises.
This place on Maple Street, it has a big yard and a huge fireplace. And the kitchen is yellow. You always liked yellow. Amy Lou.
A yellow kitchen and big yard and a fireplace to sit beside on winter evenings. Oh, sounds like something out of a fairy tale. But this isn't a year for fairy tales, Jim.
Here now, what's going on out here? I want Amy Lou to come and tie my tie. We've got to get down to the town meeting and make my speech.
Well, look, Mayor, will you play John Alden and tell Amy Lou she's got to marry me?
All right, Jim. All right. You run along now. Meet us down in the auditorium.
Okay. I'll see you both later, then. So long.
Bye, Jim. I wish I had a mother now. I wish I could sit on the floor with my head in her lap and fall my head out. Every time I think of Jim, I want to cry.
Then you're not going to marry him?
There's a ruling in the service that nurses can't be married.
Oh. You're very young. I wish you weren't so young.
I'm 3,000 years old inside. Oh, Mayor, I've fought now. I've earned the right to stay home. If I go, there's a house on Maple Street that I'll never see. I want that house. I want its arms about me. You see, this time I won't come back. I know it in my heart.
Oh, what a strange world it is. What a heartbreaking one.
Tell me to stay. Say it's right for me to stay. That's all I need. If you'll only say it's right for me to stay.
Oh, I don't know what to say to you. Because what I want to say and what I must say are bitter things within me. On one side, I see a young lady crying on my porch, and to that young lady, I want to say, take your happiness. Love doesn't come often, and you've waited a long time for this.
I wish you could say that.
I wish I could. But on the other side, I see a nurse from Bataan, a nurse that has seen the wounds and the heroism of a countryman. And to that nurse, I must say, you can't live here with the memories that would haunt you now. The path you chose, you must follow to its end.
You know it's hard. You know how hard it is.
Oh, of course I know how hard it is. Now, come on, powder your nose and let's go and make my speech. That's about all I have to say today, except for one last thing. There's a young lady beside me on the stage of whom we all have occasion to be most proud. Her actions are already known to you. It's not for me to repeat them, nor is it for me to add to them with words. Such deeds are beyond all words. And hers is one of those. However, I have a letter here for her to keep the rest of her life. from the President of the United States. And it's my pleasure to present to her, here, on behalf of the Congress of the United States, the Royal Blue Emblem for conspicuous bravery under fire. Goodbye. Goodbye, Amy Lou. Keep that medal shined up.
Goodbye, and thanks for everything. So long, Mr. Stuffshirt.
Darling,
don't say goodbye, Jim. I can't bear to hear you say goodbye. Let's save it until there's something warmer to say.
Okay, Miss Tomboy.
I'll be thinking of you.
Get on, Anna. That's enough of this.
Well, so long. You're positively two of the most handsome men I know. And keep the old town spinning. Any further instructions, Mr. Mayor?
No, except be sure you bring back my St. Christopher. And don't go sticking that blonde head into any cannons. Godspeed. God bring you safely home. God bring them all safely home.
Mr. Lionel Barrymore appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Mayor of the Town on Tuned to Yesterday from September 20th, 1942 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.